God bless you tonight, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Don't you just feel that presence here with us? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad that His word never fails. It's always true. So where two or three would gather in my name, I'd be here. And He's here tonight. If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 1. Just to announce it again so I don't forget. I'll be gone June 18th through the 23rd. I did put it on the calendar out there. Ellie and I and the family were going to go to Indiana to visit her family there. Brother Alexander will be covering the Sunday I'm gone and the Wednesday after I get back. So I can maybe kind of just enjoy the time there and not think about preaching when I get back the next day. Also, I posted it, but I'd forgotten about it specifically until, you know, when you're having a baby and things and kind of forget about other things going on. But Brother Craig Boer from Lima, they're having their camp meeting down in Mendon. I'm not exactly sure where that's at, but, you know, we got technology now. You can type it in, find where it is. It'll tell you. That's how we get to Walmart down the street anymore, right? We don't know where anything is. You just type it in. No, we don't know any phone numbers, right? We type it in and we save it. But down in Mendon, it's Friday at 7, Saturday at 7. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it. We'll see, but it'd be good if you could support those meetings. So, God bless you. Let's read our Bibles now. I think that's everything. Let's just start at chapter 9. Appreciate you standing for the reading of the Word. In respects to God's Word. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10 is really one I want to hit on. So, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals, mine own nation being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But none of the other apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things that I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the region of Syria and Sicilia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they that heard only, that he which persecuted us in times past, now preaches the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. I'd like to preach tonight for a thought. Pleasing the Son of Man will not please the sons of men. Let me say that one more time real quick. Pleasing the Son of Man will not please the sons of men. Let's bow our heads together. Present your needs to Him. We're all Christians here. You know how to approach the Word the right way. Go ahead and pray with all your heart. I believe God's got something special for us tonight. And I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for gathering the saints here tonight. We thank You, Lord, that we don't come with any form or fashion, Lord. We come because we love You. We just want to give our hearts anew to You. We love Your Word, Father, and we want the manna to fall from heaven. We want a good meal of the Word. We're not here to complain and say it's not good enough, Lord. It's what we want. It's what we need. And we're grateful, Lord, that You promised to feed our souls. We come hungry and thirsting, Lord, that we might get some more food and water from heaven tonight. I pray You pour out Your blessings on Your people, that You would correct us where we've been wrong and get us ready and prepared and sealed and just ready for the coming of the Lord that we know is upon us, Father. Be blessed, Lord, with our worship. May it be pleasing to You. May we receive the Word, and may that be pleasing to You. May the preaching of the Word be pleasing to You. And may our whole lives just bring a big smile to Your face, Lord. We love You with all our hearts. Come in this service, Lord. Heal our sick that's here. Heal those that couldn't be here and wanted to. And make a way for the bride to be prosperous, Lord. Fill us anew with Your power. Fill us anew with Your Spirit tonight. And let our joy in Your promises be fulfilled. In Jesus Christ's name, we believe it together. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you, Lord. I just love His presence, don't you? And every time I appreciate the Lord. We ought to have a sanctuary at our house, I think, from the things of the world. You know, we have to go to the store. We have to do those things. We have to rub shoulders with this world. But I believe our houses should be a sanctuary in itself. But I also believe that the church should be a sanctuary. Even then, that we should. You know, I was able to, my wife had the children there in the nursery. And, you know, you don't realize how long it's been since you've been a single brother. You know, it's like, wow, this is pretty nice. You know, you just raise your hands, you praise the Lord. You know, I got a three little guy, or two and a half, I guess, right now. But around you, wondering what they're doing half the time and things. But you just worship the Lord. So y'all, you know, single brothers or you adults ain't got no children, you ought to feel blessed tonight. Hallelujah. And there ain't no age limit, Brother Austin. You're all right. You ain't got to worry about Brother Justin over there. You can just praise the Lord. But the Bible says, let us all abide in the calling wherein we're called. So we shouldn't complain. We should be blessed wherever we are. That's why I love Paul. He was a man that had a lot of different conditions that he went through. But through it all, he said, I've just learned to be content and wherever I am. And that's a pretty bold statement when you spend a night out in the sea on a piece of wood because you're shipwrecked. And, you know, and another time where, you know, you make some people mad because you preach the gospel and all you try to do is help them, but for some reason they get angry and they bring out a city and stone you. You know, that changes the little frame of that statement that he learned to be content. He learned to be content under a pile of stones because, praise God, he had some faithful brothers that knew how to come back and raise the dead. And remember, they came back and they found him and they said he got up out of those stones and, you know, praise the Lord. He went back right there and started preaching again. So, it's just good to be a Christian tonight. I'm just grateful for the Lord Jesus. And I can't say enough about that. You know, day in and day out, we're just a blessed people. We just are. You know, we're here in the hardest of times, but as a Christian, it is the most glorious time we've ever had. We have more surety of what's going on around us, what's happening in our lives, more surety that we are saved, that we are sanctified, that we are ready for the coming of the Lord, that we will be there. And it ought to do something to our faith the more these things continue to happen. That I'm learning, like I said on Sunday, we ought to be fearless with our testimony. Why? Because I've got all of heaven backing up what I say. Because I'm a son of God. And I'm not just a son of God. I've recognized my sonship as a son of God, which means the authority that I always had, now I can operate in that authority. It's Galatians 4, but I mean, just hit on a little bit. He says you used to be children and you were an heir the whole time. You were pushed around with the things of the world. You couldn't act like you were. But one day the fullness of time came and God sent His Son and He died on the cross and He paid redemption. Why? So that you might receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise His name. How much we need to put our confidence in what God has done in our lives. See, you've got to know that you met Him. You've got to know that God that we serve, that we talk about, that it's not just a figment of your imagination, but that God has got into your heart. You have met Him. He has changed you. And it's not to anything, but it's changing you into this Word right here. Hallelujah. Now, as being part of the bride of Christ, we ought to, and Brother Branham says it this way, I'm just preaching by the Spirit tonight, but he says in the Church Age book that every minister, any minister, and he used the seven church age messengers, but he also said any minister ought to try to approximate the Apostle Paul because his ministry is exactly what a God-given ministry is. But I also believe any person in the bride of Christ ought to follow Paul's example that we were given in the Scriptures. You can't hardly find another man outside of Jesus Christ Himself that went through so many things, yet didn't get all fussy about it, didn't complain. You don't find a whole lot of bad that Paul did. The only thing we've got is his own confession. You don't find any things in there after his conversion where when he's doing things wrong, it was just, you know, when I want to do good, evil is present. The whole church didn't know nothing was wrong, but Paul knew that he still had a flesh to overcome. He just learned not to give praise to the devil. God help us that you're going through trials. I understand that you might be going through hard times, but I think we ought to get to the place now where we're living in such a different realm than that nobody around us knows that we're even going through anything because we've decided to not give the praise to the devil, but give praise to God, who we know, even though I'm going through this, all things are working together for good because I love Him, He loves me, and I'm predestinated. Glory to God. Now the Bible here, we know that Paul was taking the reason he's taking such a bold stance, and if you get a chance and you weren't here Sunday, I would suggest that you listen to that. It's only an hour. I'm not a long-winded preacher. It's all right. I'm not asking you to go listen to 3 hours in a row or anything, but he had a problem here with the Galatians. And, you know, Brother Branham preaches, you know, Book of Corinthians is a book of correction. And the Corinthians had a lot of problems. They sure did. I mean, but here's the thing. I think if a lot of message churches got put up the same standard and were called upon to live the same life, we'd find out that we're not a whole lot in front of other believers. That we think, oh, those Corinthians, they were awful, they're evil. Oh yeah, what about you guys? How many of you are of Apollos or of you know, Brother Donnie, or of Brother Ray, or of Brother Andrew, and you're of Brother Craig, and we've all camped out, and that's what we are. No, no, no. All that needs to go down and be destroyed, and either we got the Holy Ghost, and we're all part of the body of Christ, or we're just wasting our time anyways. That's right. And we all believe that if we're in Christ, we have to believe in whom Christ has sent, and Christ did not just send anybody. He sent Elijah. As He promised in the Scriptures, the only prophet that I've found anyways that was prophesied by name to come later. Amen. Every other one just showed up. They were given the word of the Lord and they came out of the woods somewhere and gave the word and they were gone. But Elijah was told he would come. What does it do? It goes to show that without revelation, God could seriously come down, send you an angel, write it out verbatim what He's going to do, and you would still miss it. You know why He did that? Yeah, He did. He said, you know, the hills will be made flat. The crooked places straight. And, and we'll make a way for the Lord. And my, they had it all figured out. And then one day, preacher came out of the woods, goat skins on, never took a bath, eating honeys and bugs. And he was making the mountains plain with one word, repent. And my, I tell you what, you probably could have got your doctrine established up pretty good, had your quotes lined up and everything, and said, there's no way this is the guy. Woo, glory! But that's all right, because God came on the scene. How much harder it would have been to believe Elijah in that day than our day? Do you know that the Bible says there was no miracles John did? It said this. He said this. They were talking later in the Scriptures that Jesus, this man, did many miracles. John didn't do any miracles. But if you didn't listen to John's message, that was only vindicated by the written word, you never would have got to the spoken word that was being manifested in signs and wonders. And that's the problem. That's why He rebuked them. He said, the whoremongers and the prostitutes going before you because they heard the preaching of John and believed it. And came out and got baptized and repented. And I was able to show them mercy when they came to the real word. But you denied John, which means you've already denied me. He was a burning and shining light, but even His light now don't work. Because I'm here now. But if you wouldn't have believed that, there's no way for you to believe this. And it's the same in our day. People say, oh yeah, I believe the coming of the Lord. I believe He's coming back. And who are you looking for? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He'll come back. But you rejected the forerunner who told you what way He was coming back, so you'll never see Him here until it's too late, unless you've been given revelation, unless you've been given the Holy Ghost, which gives you a different life. It gives you a different perspective, and not just any perspective. It gives you God perspective. It gives you the mind, literally, of God that He put in His Son. Come on now, and lived it out. He now took that same mind, that same intelligence, and has handed it to us. And He used a little Kentucky preacher with no education. A man that had to stand on his tippy toes just to feel tall enough to sit next to Oral, or stand next to Oral Roberts. You go look at that picture. I'm telling you, he's on his tippy toes. It might be a perception or something, but you go look at it again if you ever find there's like five men and Oral Roberts is one of them. Brother, I'm telling you, he's on his tippy toes because he's trying to get taller. But hallelujah. Paul had a problem here with the Galatians. We were talking about the Corinthians and they had their problems, but Paul was able to write 2 Corinthians and praise them. I mean, he praised them a lot. He said, my, what zeal, what vehement desire you all had that when the word came, you know, he might have thought they would resist it a little bit, but they took it. And they applied it. And they lived it. Just goes to show, always give the word. Always give the word. It's always the best thing to do. Even if you know it's going to offend people. Even if you know it's wrong, that's what we're going to be talking about here in a minute. To please God is to always do the Word of God. Amen. Always. It doesn't matter. You need to get away from your thinkings and your feelings about stuff. Good thing you're not a preacher if you base things on that, because you never say the right thing, because you're always hurting feelings. That's right. You're always getting under people's skin. Why? Because we need it. Why? Because we all need to get this grum and stuff on us. We need something to come, the Word of God, to shave that off. And if you're a real Christian, you want it. That's right. You want it. You don't resist it. If there's anything black in me, Lord, let him hit on it every single service until I finally believe it, get it out of my life. Amen. Glory to God. Paul here, though, he had a problem with the Galatians. And he didn't just sugarcoat it like we think we ought to, that that's being nice and charitable. No, he went right after it. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of God, that you're so soon removed from the gospel that I've preached to you, that wasn't just any gospel, but it was mine, that God has given to me as the apostle for you Gentiles. And you're sitting here trying to listen to Peter. You're trying to listen. They're not even the apostle to you. God has sent me. And as I know, preaching it Sunday, that offended some spirits around, but it doesn't matter. It was still the Word anyways. Paul was the messenger. You had to believe him. Brother Branham said, even in the next age, I believe it was Irenaeus, and he said Polycarp was a mighty man of God. God used him, and he was a servant, but he could not be the messenger because he was leaning too much on organization. Doesn't take away from his testimony. It just goes to show that he was not the messenger of the age. Irenaeus was. And it's the same in the first age. Peter, praise God, he got the Holy Ghost. He was given the keys, but he was not the apostle to the Gentiles. And you can see in his actions, he wasn't built for it. But Paul was. Why? Because of his conversion. Because of his vehement zeal that he had before. He even said it, what we just read there. How many of you would be able to say this? When I was a Baptist, I was the Baptist of the Baptist. I did everything that was in those bylaws. I followed it all. Nobody could put a finger on my life.
That's true.
We got that testimony. I know I don't. But this man did. He said, I excelled above everyone in the Jews' religion. And look what he had done. The religion, listen now, he called it just the Jews' religion at this point because God had moved on. That used to be the ordained Word of God, but God had moved past that and had restored greater than that. And Paul was trying to just vehemently tell these Galatians that were trying to be Jews. Look, I was the Jew of the Jews. I was the Pharisees of the Pharisees. I had everything going for me. And I threw it in the trash can for what I'm telling you.
Amen.
And you're going to sit there and gloat about, I got circumcised, I did this, and I did that. I don't need you, Paul, and I'm going to exalt all these works I'm doing. What are you talking about? You still don't even measure up.
Right.
And we think he was being boastful. He was being proud, just like the prophet of God, how they want to bring Brother Branham because he was saying he was the only one and he just didn't have an open mind to people's feelings and things. No, that ain't the problem. The problem is when you have truth, everything changes.
Right.
When you have the truth, it changes the way you're... Oh, you say, well, do you proselyte people, Brother Andrew? Not from church to church, but from death to life.
Yes.
Yes, I'm going to proselyte people from death to life. I don't care what church they go to. I had one student one time. He was a Catholic coming to me and talking about stuff. And I began to testify to him and say, you know, you need to get out of that. And this other, and I don't remember how it all went down and stuff, but I was showing him that, look, there's no salvation out there. What you're doing, I think he was going to get a, what do they call that? The thing they do in all of them, baptism, they all, the ceremony. It's, oh, come on. You all know what I'm talking about. Confirmed. They were going to get confirmed. That's what it was. And I was like, well, I ain't going to do you no good. You need to get the Holy Ghost. That's what you need to do. And I, you know, I was really laying it in there because, you know, you never know when you have another opportunity. When the door opens, I've learned to just go. You know, I don't go opening doors, but once the door's open, I run in there because it's, that might be the only chance they have. And then one of my other students got kind of offended and said, well, why are you doing that? You know, his family's built up this way and all these things. And you might be tearing down, you know, the home life and stuff. And I'm like, look, man. Look, that's all fine, and I know what you might be trying to say, but that guy's got a soul. And that's worth more than any family life, any feelings, any of that stuff. And if you really want to be careful with the Scriptures, Jesus didn't say, I've come to just give everyone a nice pillow and love each other, and we're just going to go on to glory together. He said, straight's the gate, narrow's the way, and there's only a few find it.
Amen.
And I'm bringing the Word, which is a sharp two-edged sword. Come on now. It ain't peace. I ain't come to get a rosy, peachy, not, you know, sugar-coated kind of gospel. We're going to go out and have a picnic. I come bringing a sword. And I come bringing a sword I'm going to hand to my servants. Not a physical sword where Peter was cutting off ears. Something that offended a lot worse than that. The sword of the word, which will divide as the... And Jesus said it himself. How do people fight this? He said, I'll set mother against daughter. Daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, and on and on. We're showing that the family, the Satan will attack that way. But praise God, there's still a promise now. Don't go running off, Jesus. There's still a promise by predestination that even in that temporal sense, they will fight you. I believe there's a seed in your family beyond that. And as we, look, you have to be the Rahab now. Listen now, you are the Rahab if you're the bride of Christ. They're not the Rahab. You're the Rahab because you've got the word. What am I trying to say? They're not just going to hear it out of the cloud. It's your turn. And if you don't say it, they'll never hear it. That's why you have to have the token. I can't claim your family. I've learned that, and it's very difficult sometimes. People want you to be able to do that. And look, I don't have a promise for your family. You have a promise for your family. And if you can't get the faith to appropriate to the way where you can do something about it, it'll never work. It's, and you think, well, bless God, I should be able to do this or that. That ain't the way God works. He works by His word. Thine and thine house shall be saved. Cornelius had to believe that. How did he show he believed that? He didn't just go have a private Bible study. He brought his family out and said, we're going to church. Well, you don't want to offend them. You don't want to make them mad. Who am I trying to please? God or people's feelings? Hallelujah. Okay, let's get back here a little bit. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And Paul was directly taking that from what Jesus had said. Look, they said all kinds of good things to the false prophets. And he said, woe is you when all men speak good of you. It shows that your testimony has been diluted. And you fit in now. Come on now. Not you trying to be weird on purpose, but it just shows you're not living in that realm of the supernatural to where the devils are aroused. Where they get angry. And you think, well, if bless God, you know, I'm just trying to be a good fellow and things like that. That's fine. But how many times have you blown over, you know, that little conviction on your heart says, say something to that brother or that man or that woman that's wrong. And you said, and you get how do I coin it? Evangelical frustration or tiredness. Because you try to give the word and you give the word and nobody wants it. So you say, well, there ain't no point doing it no more. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't do that with me. Because I turned him down. I turned him down. And you say, how? Well, Peter denied him. Thomas doubted him until he finally showed up and got to touch his side. Praise God, we at least got more faith than that. Has he had to come to your door side and say, here, fine, touch my side. I am the risen Savior. No, he gave us the word. He came in a form that we could see him. That's right. Yes, he did. For if I do please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. There's no middle ground for this. If we are going to please the Son of Man, and I said it that way for a reason, because the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of David, all these things are just titles that point to one man, not one doctrine, not one group, not one denomination, one man, and that is Jesus Christ, who is the one mediator between God and men. There is no one else that can get you to talk to God unless you talk to Jesus Christ. That's right. Because he is literally the personification of God into a man that you can talk to. That's right. Now, he didn't have his, you know, we didn't know his name right away. He was the Word. He was the Logos. He came in the form of Melchizedek, and they had all these titles. They didn't know who he was, but not in our day. He has been fully revealed, and not even as in the days of Paul after he was resurrected, but after all the way to the end where he said, and Paul said, in my day, I see darkly. I see it phasing, but not in that day. I'll see face to face. And that's the day we're living in. It's not Brother Branham. It's not Brother Andrew. It's not any preacher. It is Jesus Christ in the form of the Son of Man is making himself known as the bride. And for me to please that man, I cannot please the sons of men. Now, what are the sons of men? And I thought it was just worldly people or things like that. And if you want to turn there, you can, but I'm just going to quote real quick the few times the Bible uses this term. It's here in Psalms 1 or Psalms 4. It says this, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." Don't you love that promise? Yeah, amen. So he's got this group and they're taking the glory of God and turning it to shame. They love vanity. How do they seek after leasing and things of the world? Now let me read you another one. Psalms 57:4. "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." All right? So I looked up that phrase, the sons of men. What does that mean? And I found it in, it's one of the commentaries. I wish I could remember. It's off the Bible, one of the Bible sites. I'll get it later if you really want to see it. But it says this, "A literal rendering of a Hebrew phrase generally interpreted as men of high degree. Luther translates gentlemen, where it is high as contrary to low. Men of high degree." So what is this group of people? See, we think the sons of men and we think of sinners as these terrible people down the street that are, you know, cussing and drinking and smoking, cutting tattoos and committing adultery and murder and things like that. But if you really break it down by the scriptures, those are low-class devils. To possess one man, it took them thousands of them. Legion, didn't it? To make him go crazy. It took thousands of them to do those kind of things. But there was another group of people that Jesus looked at right in the face and drove, "Your father the devil and his work shall do." Who were those? Those that had teeth, that they used their teeth and their tongue and their doctrines, and they were set on fire and they got angry. What was it? It was the men that looked moral, that looked of high degree, looked like of high standards, that were the epitome of the devil. And we've heard this before, and you might not know it, but the Bible tells us about this in Ephesians 6. I want you to turn there. And just to see this real quick, that this is the worst class of people on the planet. And it sounds awful to say that there's people worse than murderers and rapers and things like, and all of that, but there are. Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And again, if we're not careful, we'll apply, you know, what we're fighting against is way out there in the world and everything else, but that's not the warning. That's not what Paul is saying, because the next verse, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." So it's not something on the outside anyways. We're wrestling against something different. It's not flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Who? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. What are those high places? Spiritual realms. The religious people that deny the Word of God. Those are the sons of men. Those are the descendants of Cain. Those are the serpent seed. Those that come to church. Come on now. Those that claim to believe the Word. Those that claim to be moral and have high standards and, you know, keeping, we're going to keep pure and all these things. But when you break down that man, down in his heart, he's a hypocrite. He's got no life down on the inside, and how the devil likes to just attach on that and apply it all kinds of different ways. But that's why we've got to find, are we in the Word or not? Because if we're not in the Word, all your morality, all your works, all your things that you think are pleasing God are actually disgusting in His sight. You've got to have a born-again experience. You've got to meet this man on the inside so that you're no longer a son of man, but you're part of the Son of Man. You're in a different being. This is who the Bible was warning us of. These are what the men that David couldn't stand. They were the men that should have been his friends. He told Joab, "You guys are just a thorn in my side because every time I try to do something." Though they worked for David, listen. Though they did his bidding, though they did what he asked, in their hearts they didn't serve him. They didn't love him. They wanted it out for themselves. You go look at the life of Joab, and you might not know this, but if you watch his life, everything he is doing is for himself. Right. He kills two men. You want to know why? Because David was going to put him in his position. Right. And David was going to do it to bring Israel back together. Instead of being all the people that love Saul and all that David said, no, this isn't right. We ought all to come together. So he would take somebody, I think it was Saul's captain, and he said, we're going to make peace. Let Abner come and he'll be my captain and we'll bring Israel back together. And instead Joab got all selfish, brought him out to the side and killed him so he could stay captain and avenge his brother. When really it wasn't Abner's fault anyways. Abner didn't want to kill Asahel. I hope I'm not just giving you a bunch of Bible stories you don't know. We read the Word, right? If you don't know these stories, it might be time to go back in the Old Testament and read it again. I'm still surprised with people in this message. God help me. I hope it don't hurt your feelings, but I'm going to say it anyways. Who ain't never read the whole Bible yet? Read the whole Bible yet? We think, well, I just don't understand it all. What are you trying to understand anyways? That ain't the way you read. That ain't the way you serve God. You read it in faith. And God will bring out what you need. You say, well, I don't understand why I got to read through these genealogies. It doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. God didn't waste His time. You're not smarter than Him. You're going to go tell me He didn't need to put that in there because it's a waste of time? I don't need to play it. I can just skip over it. I've seen people do that in this message. Think, oh, he's just, Brother Bram's just talking at the beginning and things. I'll just skip that and get to the message. Or I don't even need the message. I'll just go to the end so I can hear the cool signs. Everyone loves the signs. The sons of men love the signs, but they don't love the voice behind the signs. And that's what the signs are trying to grab, are those that will believe the voice. And I'm so glad. I'm a privileged son of God. I'm a privileged preacher to hear people that love the voice. Oh, they want the signs, but they're here to hear the voice. They hear God speak to them. And they'll come whether the devil's fighting all the way, whether I tear them up left or right. Oh yeah, I said I, God forbid. I said I as a preacher. We're not allowed to do that. We have to say we. I thought we had revelation in this building. Hallelujah. Wickedness in high places, in spiritual levels, in the church. And it might not be your preacher, it might not be your brother, but I'm here to tell you, those devils stay around this message. Especially, yeah, we might be past drinking. At least I hope it don't affect you no more. We're past the things of the world of that sort. But he'll come and he'll bring these spiritual wickednesses in high places. To say, I know Brother Branham said that, but really, do we need to worry about it? We've watched it too, and I respect men of God. I love them as my brothers, but look, if they do something that I know the message said they ought not to do, I don't care who he is, he's wrong. If I do something contrary to the word that God has given, I am wrong. That's right, we've seen ministers, they're beginning to bring the bars down on everything that this message came to restore us back to. That's right. We're not even Harley Lutherans anymore. We can't even really get justified. We're still, we're going to let our sisters cut their hair and we're going to bring the TV back in and we're just going to speed down the road because it doesn't matter. Even though the prophet said you go and pass speed limits, it's just as good as premeditated murder. That's what he said. You can, and drinking and things like that. He says, just as bad, you're out there reckless. That's right. And I told a student off on that one time because especially here in town and things, that's 25 for a reason. I know I don't really care for it either, but look, there's children around and you ain't going to slow down at 55. They're dead. You're out there on the highway going 80 miles an hour. You're going to blast somebody because it ain't made for that. Hallelujah. And the law says, well, you can go 5 over. I don't care what the law says. The law of God trumps all of that. Even if they can enforce their own laws, it doesn't matter. I'm the Christian. And Jesus told me to render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's and do what the law said for me to do. And even if I got to pay taxes that don't make sense. Even if I got to get a social security number so they can find where I live and how long I've been there and how much it costs. And, well, you know what? You might as well give up on trying to keep privacy anymore. Because goodness, just go look up stuff for yourself on the internet. Type your number in and see if it don't pull your name up. Type your name in and see if it don't pull your number up. But see, that's the point. We need to quit thinking this way. That's where that spiritual witness is getting in high places. It's making you afraid of that stuff.
Right.
Because you forget, look, I got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I literally have angels that hang around my house to make sure it's okay.
Amen.
What in the world am I scared of? We'll hear the weather and we'll think the weatherman knows that he's wrong 99% of the time anyways. But we'll take his word as gospel. We'll skip church to make sure we're okay. Instead of praying, we'll get all nervous and keep clicking refresh, seeing what's going to happen. Instead of getting down and realize if you really could get a little bit of faith as a mustard seed, you could tell that storm to go off the earth. Why? Because it's just the prince of power of the air anyways. It's just the devil. You can tell him whatever you want. He'll do it. He has to do it. Woo, glory, I don't care if I'm the only one that believes that. It's still true. That's right, brother. Hallelujah. We're just having a good old time in God's presence tonight. Isn't that right? We're not serving, and this is where I want to get to. Satan's deception, and I could talk about the baptism things all the way down. And yes, those things of the world, if those things are bothering you, you've got to get down and die because you need a conversion. The Bible says, he that loves the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you yet. But what does Satan do to somebody who is converted? Now, he can't prove it, we can't prove it, but we believe it and God proves it. That's right. He's the only one that knows. Do you know that? Satan does not know your heart. He cannot get in there. Why? He's not allowed. He is blocked out. He'll get in your spirit and maybe use his wisdom to try to figure it out, but he thought he had Paul figured out too. Come to find out, I was the Son of God the whole time. Hallelujah. But what does the spiritual wickedness come and are where we're at in the message, where we're at, look, and you talk of levels and things, but we are at the highest revelation the world's ever had. Ever. God has unlocked everything to give to us. What does Satan come in this age to do? Is really to replace God and a life, a literal life of Jesus Christ in you for a form, for a doctrine, for a church life, for a morality, to live a system which we've been told over and over and over again in this message is the seed of the Antichrist. But he can paint it up so well to make you think, oh, I don't need to do that boo-hooing and screaming. Those gifts of spirit, that don't mean nothing to me. And I don't have to really cry to get the Holy Ghost and things like that. I don't need to get all worked up in service. I don't need to show up early and pray. I don't need to give myself to the service. Somebody else can do that. As long as I'm around, I'm in. There's some people who thought that stuff. If you want to turn to the best example I can think of, it's Matthew 19, which the rich young ruler. He is the man that gives you what this revelation right here that I'm trying to speak to you about. And I'm just going to turn there. Revelation 19, and I want to read it. Thank the Lord, you're hearing from His voice tonight. I know He's here, and I know He's speaking. Hallelujah. If we got ears to hear, we'll receive it. That's right. At Matthew 19, I'm just going to go down to 16. And behold, one came unto Him, one came and said unto Him, Good Master. See, look now, he acknowledged him as a good master. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And if the carnal man, this looks like the perfect question to ask. It looks like the perfect situation for this man, this young man at the prime of his age, to come to the right source and to ask this question, look like a match made in heaven. Just like it did in Exodus 19. I just realized that parallel. It's Matthew 19, Exodus 19. Where Israel came to God and said, whatever He says, we'll do it. And it looked like the most noble thing to say, but it wasn't in revelation. It wasn't in a relationship to God. They had already told Him, don't talk to us. Scare you. You got lightning bolts and stuff. You got people shouting and screaming and spitting and running out. I'm scared of all that. Don't talk to me. Just let it come through that other brother and I'll just float along with it and I'll do whatever Moses says or whatever God says and that's fine. That's a good second-handed revelation, but that don't give you eternal life. And every one of those souls perished.
Amen.
And this man here, it looks like he asked the right question. He came to the right source, but because he didn't identify this man as God. Listen now, he calls him out right now. Watch, verse 17. And he said unto him, Jesus speaking, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, a lot of people think that that's him saying that he's not God. No, it's him saying he is God. Because he called him good master, but Jesus discerned his heart and knew he had no revelation.
Right.
Says, why are you calling me good? I'm just a man. There's only one good God. You see what I'm saying? Had he recognized that he was God, he would have praised him for calling him good master. Because he would have said, well, yes, I'm God. But he didn't have a revelation of that, so he called it out right here. Ooh, glory. There's one good, that's God. But if thou wilt enter into life, he answers his question, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? Again, another great commandment. How many times we had people come in and you try to bring the church and they say, well, what do I got to do to stay saved? And we tell them, quit cutting your hair. Wear your dresses. Come to church and and pay your tithes and be a good little girl and you be a good boy and you clean up and everything. And what happens? It never lasts. It never lasts. They'll walk in a while because they want you to be their friend. They want to be around. They want to be part of the society. They want to feel good. But one day, look, your seed will come out. You know, Judas' seed, he tried to be a disciple. He walked with Jesus. He suffered the persecution with everyone else. When they said, go cast out devils, he went with them. When he said, go give to the poor, they went and did it, even though he didn't want to. But at the end of the day, when it came time to receive the word, he turned his back on it and sold him out. And later, you see, the Bible says he repented, but that's not the repentance of a Christian. That's just feeling bad because you got caught. That's the sorrow of the world that worketh death. Paul talks about that. That he told the Corinthians that you didn't repent that way. You repented the right way. A godly sorrow. A sorrow that says, I am wrong. Not that I got caught.
Right, amen.
Hallelujah. I'm just preaching. I hope you're getting revelation. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, just to help you out. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? It goes to show that when you break a man down, he knows if he's right with God or not.
Right.
This man had stacked up all kinds of theology that he between him and God that he was okay. And Jesus began to pull layers away and say, yeah, all you got to do is this, all you got to do this, all you got to do this. But when he got down to it, he's like, I'm still lacking something. I know I am. And people don't like it when they come and you tell them, look, you might be a good guy. You might be supporting the ministry, and I appreciate that. You might be coming to church, and all that, but you don't believe it yet. You need to get the Holy Ghost because you don't have it. And until you do, you're lacking. And you will be weighed in the balance of God when you had opportunity after opportunity. How many people under the sound of this message, how many people will be condemned more than anything that's ever hit the earth because they heard it time and time again what they must do to get in, and they refused it because they stacked up a bunch of theology and said, I'm okay.
Right. Amen.
I can have TV and watch it all day as long as I got a stack of message books in front of it when nobody's watching. And I'll just push them out of the way. Now, I understand that having a TV in itself is not the devil. I mean, we record sermons. You can get sermons and things. You can play Christian things. But that's not what it gets used for too many times. It's not. It's used for the things of the world. And you just watch. If you say, well, this movie ain't all that bad, don't do that, Christian friend. Don't do that. Why? Because you're trying to serve as the son of men, not as part of the son of man. That's right, part of God, because God is 100%.
Amen.
And when you feel that little check, look, don't go reasoning with that. Don't think, well, the pastor didn't say nothing about it. My church don't preach about it. This seems okay here. No, if you had the check, God spoke to you and he told you, get it out.
Amen.
Just do it. And this man here, he did. He came the right way. He came to the right person. He had the right question. He was given the right answer. And he asked this, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. How happy we should be, we got the Holy Ghost. Go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and shalt have treasures in heaven. Now look, that's not the end of his commandment. He says, and come and follow me. What was he to do that work for? It's the same what I believe it was John said. He said, repent and bring forth fruits, meat of repentance. Show God. And we say, why do we got to do that? He's God.
Amen.
I think that's the least we can do, is show him we're serious once in a while.
Right, amen.
You know, and people get carnal with that, but I don't care. If you need to do it, grab the TV, throw it outside, and shoot it with your shotgun. I don't care. That's what Brother Branham said, do. Go look it up. He said, you need to get that thing out and shoot your shotgun because it's trying to kill you. And people get carnal and think that they can do that and still love the TV. That's not the way it works. And then come follow him. Replace it with God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We need to do that with our children. I think that's another curse in the message. We tell them, no, 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 no. So they can't do anything. No, you take that out and then replace it with God. Say, well, that's boring. No, it doesn't have to be. How about you just spend time with them? You know, I've learned, you know what my little sons want me to do? Sit on the floor and let them tackle me. That's it. That's what they want. If I will do, they will literally do that all day long. And you want to know what it is? It's what we ought to be with God.
Amen.
God, I don't have to do nothing fancy. You ain't got to pull out a red carpet for me and get the dinner table ready. If you're doing that, you're trying to hype something up. That's why people don't like marriage, because it doesn't work that way. It's not a date. It's a marriage. It's we love each other just because. We're going to be together just because. We like to sit in the same room just because we like each other for some reason. That's right. And if you can't get content in that, that date night don't do nothing anyways. Well, I think we ought to do that. You ought to date your spouse. You ought to do nice things like that. But if you don't have a foundation behind that, that's just a bunch of put on. It's the same in the church.
Amen.
If you ain't got a prayer life that you just love spending time with God, if you don't like reading the Bible, God have mercy. If you don't like hearing the tapes, what is wrong with you? Christian friend, God help us. You're listening to spiritual wickedness in high places. They'll say, oh, you know, you can put a quote about everybody on online. But God forbid you say anything about what Brother Bram said. Oh, we got to analyze this one. But if Winston Churchill says something or Abraham Lincoln, you know, like Abraham Lincoln said, I created the internet. You know, that's on, you can find that. Yes, very good. That didn't actually happen. But it shows how much faith people put in a system that's completely worm-eaten called the internet. Yeah. Oh, but I found on the internet, it's got to be right. No, get away from all that. And especially all these interpretations of what the message is saying. If you're trying to go on the internet to find that, that's why you haven't found it yet. You need to go listen to the tapes.
Right.
It's just the same as the Bible. You can go find people tell you all kinds of things out of this book. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to be a woman minister. It's okay to drink, lie, steal, as long as you come to church. They can pull scriptures and do that, left and right, up and down. But if you will read it yourself, like many men have been getting to do, what is up with my iPad? It is doing something funky here. Well, maybe I'll get it figured out here in a minute. Well, I'll just have to do it that way. That's all right. Hallelujah. Don't you love to see something funky right there in a stupid technology? But see, I'm not dependent on this thing anyway. I've preached literally 45 minutes about five words that I had on here. Why? Because it's not me. It's the Son of Man. We're not here. I'm not here to please myself. I'm not here to please you. Because if I do it that way, if I intentionally frame a sermon to please the people I'm talking to, I am not serving God.
Amen.
How nice it is to just be the evangelist and just go to a church and you know you don't know anything and you just rub people left and right, up and down. You're right through all their lives, but they know it's God. But if the pastor says it now we've got to evaluate and look into it and say, I don't know, he said that because of this and this happened last week. And praise the Lord. Brother Ed, you just say that because you're a pastor. No, it's just truth. It's just truth. I've had to fight it with my pastors in the past. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had plenty of times where they're like, oh, he's just saying that because of this or whatever. And then what you need to do is back up and say, that wasn't me. That was the devil. See, we just want to say, well, it's just a thought and it's okay. You know, I can keep harboring that thing. Before you know it, you've got a root of bitterness and you will hate that guy. You'll still shake his hand. God bless you, brother. You just praise the Lord. But down on the inside, you can't stand being around him. That's why you just need to call it the devil, rebuke it in Jesus' name, and really fall in love with that brother. Hallelujah. The young man saith, all right, I'm gonna go with this. He says, Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But the young man heard that, when he heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciple, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. What a sad position for this man. And if you look at another scripture when Jesus, the story happens, Jesus said he looked at the rich young ruler and he loved him. So God does honor morality in a natural sense. If there's a man, you know, and all the big companies do it, you watch. They donate to all kinds of things. Why? Because the law of God is still true. If you reap or you sow into those things, you will reap for that. But when it comes to spiritual, we're on a whole different level. We're not trying to reap a natural crop because that will fade and burn and be perished. Just like this rich young ruler was finding out. That all these things he had done didn't count for squat because he still knew he didn't have eternal life. He asked how to get it, and the minister gave him the answer. And he didn't like it. So instead of recognizing that the devil was trying to get him to doubt the word, he said the word is wrong and it's okay. And what did he begin to do? He seared himself out. So what begins to happen? He builds the theology back on again. And now he's sealed to where his mind doesn't have the notion that he isn't saved. He literally can use... You say, how is that? God said he'd give them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and then be damned by it. These people actually believe that they have salvation. There was a day, every man has come to a day where they have recognized they need salvation, but the second they turn it down for the last time, God seals that person and he will always believe he is saved. There's no man who can say he's not. You cannot accept the fact that you're going to hell. You just could not just say, yes, I'm going to, no problem. No, there's always that hope in this life. But the second you cross, that hope will disappear. What kind of condition is that? But we know this man came to that point. You can find it later in the Bible. This was spiritual wickedness in high places. A good, moral man. A boy that went to church. A boy that kept the commandments. A boy that would talk to Jesus. But he denied the Word of God. And he denied his own salvation. And he woke up one morning in the pits of hell. That's right. So burning, he said, let Abraham, tell Lazarus just to put his finger in some water and just touch my tongue. How much do we have to hate people to not give them a chance at the gospel?
Right.
How much do you have to hate somebody to not, as I said earlier, proselyte them from death to life?
Amen.
Now you can't do it yourself. We can't save each other. God saves us individually. But how could you be so heartless to not even give a chance?
Right.
You say, well, I'm timid, I'm this or that, but who is he that you say you have in you? He's greater than all that. He ain't timid.
Right.
They thought he was, but when it came time for the word, he spoke it. Hallelujah. Let me read you some quotes. We can't, the spiritual wickedness, you go to the days of Jacob and Esau, and there were plenty of sinner boys around, I'm sure, but who's the one that we know for sure that God hated? Esau. Let me read you what Brother Branham says here. Harvest Time, 1964. That's the schools of theology long ago has swapped this blessed thing for a mess of pottage. That's exactly right, yes sir, like Esau did. Now, Esau morally was a better man than Jacob, but he didn't have respects to his birthrights, which was the Word. How many knows that the birthright was the Word, the promise, the elder son? But he was a good man, moral man, like the nominal Christian today, a good man. And I hate to break it to you, but there are plenty of nominal Christians in this message. Nominal Christianity is a condition, not a you know, we think of it, you put a tag on, you're just a nominal Christian. No nominal Christian will say they're a nominal Christian. They'll say somebody else is the nominal Christian, and they're not. But it's a person that doesn't have the Holy Ghost is a nominal Christian. If they're claiming to serve God, and you don't have the Holy Ghost in your life, you are a nominal Christian. That's it. There's no in-between on this. I didn't get many amens, but it's the truth anyhow. Oh, like a nominal Christian today, a good man. He didn't lie. He didn't steal. He was good to his daddy. He'd done all these things. But you see, his birthrights, he didn't care about that. What difference does that make? I'm an Israelite anyhow. See, I belong to it anyhow. I belong to the message anyhow. It doesn't matter about all that. But it was his birthrights that counted. See, his natural was all right, but his spiritual was all wrong. It's exactly what Jesus told the Pharisees. You spend all day washing the outside of the cup, but the part that you need clean so we can actually eat off this thing is full of dead man's bones.
Amen.
Get the inside clean. And don't think I'm not telling us to be moral. Absolutely, but get the inside clean and it'll push out a good man. It'll push out a good citizen. It'll push out a nice fellow. But it will push out a man that infuriates the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he will. He'll make them mad. Why? Because they see that you have something that they don't have and you don't deserve it because you're Jacob, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're no good. And I've been a good man my whole life and God no way would bypass me for you. But God doesn't look at morality. He looks at faith.
Amen.
And Jacob believed it, even though he wasn't converted yet. He believed the word. And he had to act somehow. And he acted in a very unconverted manner. Why? Him and his mom decided to dress him up to his blind daddy and get him deceived so he would get the birthright or the blessing. That's right. He met Jacob or Esau out in the field knowing he'd be hungry. And brought him his favorite meal that day. Why? Because something on the inside said, I need the birthright. But he wasn't converted to do it the right way. So God knew that. We think, the end justifies the means. And it kind of does. And God, really, you think that's crazy. But Rahab the harlot was the one that brought the Savior. So was she supposed to be a harlot? I wouldn't say directly. But, you know, it works out. That's the way God did it. And God knew that Jacob would do this. And he still allowed the blessing to go to him. He still allowed the birthright to go to him. Why? Because God was looking at something so far beyond a man could see and knew that Jacob believed it. Jacob believed the promise I gave to Abraham. And yet in Esau, there was nothing there. That's why the Bible says, before they were even born, God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, it wasn't right for Jacob to be immoral. He reaped for that. How many knows that? Oh yeah, everything he did, you'll find it coming back on him later on in life. How many of you men would have worked 14 years for a couple girls? And then 6 years to make a living. And then finally you can leave after 20 years. And then you're trying to sneak out at night because he won't really let you go. Yeah, he reaped for that, okay? But one day he met a man. He met a man and he got a name change. But see, the faith back here is what God recognized to where he could meet him here. Amen. Hallelujah. And we think, well, bless God, you know, I do this, I do that. God don't care about that. There's nowhere you'll see angels rejoicing over a righteous man knowing he's righteous. Or saint, but there are angels that shout for joy when one sinner repents of his sins and comes back to God and accepts the word and changes it. Hallelujah. Let me keep reading here. His natural was all right, but his spiritual was all wrong. So it is it today. The pottage mixed church and the world together, some of each one, bingo parties, dances, all kinds of carrying on in the church. Short hair women wearing shorts. Well, you say, Brother Branham, what's that little thing? That's one of the words, for the Bible said it's wrong for a woman to cut her hair. That's right. If she does, how is she going to get in? See, just ask. Any preacher will tell you the word says that. And I begin to find out sinners will tell you that anymore. They know it's in there. They just don't care. What a condition to be in. See, she dishonors her head. I'm not going to back it. This is 64 right now I'm reading from you. Just in case you thought we could throw this out the window. It's still part of the word. She dishonors her head. She dishonors her husband. She should be divorced. Wow. Maybe this means a little bit more than what we think. Because when a woman cuts her hair, knowing she shouldn't do it. It's different when you're ignorant. It really is. But when you know you shouldn't, you don't understand the level of rebellion, a rebellious spirit you have on you. And we know what the Bible says. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. So you go pick a witch out there that's stirring eggs and frogs and stuff like that. And a woman that's trimming her hair off knowing I shouldn't be doing this is in the same condition. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't say divorce and go get remarried now. Just leave that for another service. She should be divorced. That's exactly right. For she that will cut her hair, let her also be shorn off, shaven. See, and a lot of people don't know this, but let me read what he says here. See, it shows that through that, not just bobbed. God don't want it that way. That's Mr. In Between. God don't fool with it. Either cut it all off or leave it grow. That's what God said. Did you know that? Any minister of the gospel knows that's the truth, whether you'll say it or not, but that's the truth, see? Well, what good if you're going to do all the rest of them and leave that go? So I've had, I've heard of a sister one time had cancer and they were giving treatments and her hair was falling off and she felt bad because she just had this little piece, just hardly anything left, and she shaved it off. I said, I heard the story later on, but I would have went to her and said, sister, that's what the Bible told you to do. It says, if you're going to do it, shave it all off. We got real quiet, but what is it? But it's not honorable, but God is saying, if you're going to do it, you need to just shave it off because it's humiliating is what it is. We all know the Bible's very plain. Where's your glory, sister? It's your hair. So what are you doing? You're getting rid of all your glory. That's right. God don't work in betweens now. Now, why would you do that? That's the only case I can think of. a woman that's losing all her hair and it's about to fall out, yeah, go ahead. Shave it all off then if you want to, but don't try to look fashionable. Don't try to look. See, we got real quiet. I don't know why we don't like that. Is it just because you didn't hear it before? Am I running off on a tangent? Or I believe Malachi 4 is a prophet, and I know that what he said is the word, and you can actually go find that. And he says the hair is all of one, and let it. If you're going to shave it, let it be shaved, not shorn. He said, "Don't you can't shorn your hair. You can't cut it." He said, shave it all. Praise the Lord. I guess that was for something, but praise God. Let's read the rest of the quote now. What? There's a little bit of worldly style into you, trying to act a little bit like the other churches. God help us to not get that way. God help us to not lose our Pentecostal roots in the Word. We're not afraid to shout and praise God and to look like a bunch of fools because we're all stuck up and we're good old message believers and we've got men of dignity. That's men of high places. That's the sons of men that God hates. That's Esau. That's Cain. Still in the church, but dignified. See, that shows that you're trying to serve a man somewhere. And that man might be you. It might be this person. Might be that person. We might have the mayor show up. We all act different. God forbid we do anything stupid like that. I don't care if my principal walks in here. I'm going to preach the same sermon. And I'm going to spit the same way, and I'm going to sweat the same way. And he's going to realize that I, as a teacher, and I, as a preacher, is not the same thing. There's no point in being wishy-washy. I wish I could just into the church. There's no point in making anything great. There's none. It does nothing for you. It does nothing for the person you're talking about. All it does is confuse them. And what will they do? They will take what you say, believing you're a Christian, and misinterpret it, apply it to their life, and think they're saved, but they're really sending themselves to hell. Right. It's time to call black, black, and white, white. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you will not make the rapture. Amen. That's it. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you have to please God, not man. Always. That's exactly what got Israel in trouble. That's where they die. That's where Adam got in trouble. That's where all the rest of them got in trouble. Just one word. That's all it takes. Just one point. Pottage mixed with the world. Some of the world, some of Hollywood, and some of the church, some of the theologians, and what do you got? You've got death. That's what it is. You've got death in the pot like it was in the days of Elijah. I know I've went an hour and you kind of get quiet, but that's all right. Let me finish here now. Coming out of the token, Brother Branham has asked a few questions here. Actually, I got the right one? No, that's a different one. I'm going to read that one anyways. This is just good. You love the Word?
Amen.
Amen. This is 63, the token. But the true token of the blood, speaking out, speaks of a living, resurrected presence. Aren't you glad that presence here tonight? Hallelujah. It doesn't make it a long service if you know Jesus Christ is here. And you've got a revelation that you're here to please Him. And when you're here to please Him, if He's speaking to me, I'm not bored, Lord. I'm having a great time. I'm like Martha and Mary. Martha was out there getting her dishes done and getting all the formalities and making church was going just the way it ought to and all these things. And what began to happen? She said, look at that lazy person over there just praising the Lord. Look at them just worshiping and don't know how to keep their songbook where it ought to be because they're too busy praising the Lord. And what did Jesus say? He said, Martha, Martha, you're careful about many things, but Mary has chosen that thing that's needful. She's chosen the Word, and that will not be taken away from her. See, that's a sincere heart, though. And you can't hardly find it no more. You can't hardly find somebody that really cares about the things of God first and foremost to where, we talk about not doing our duties because we're serving God, but too many times we do it because we're lazy. I've seen that happen. I just can't get it done because I'm going to go pray. Yeah, you're just trying to get out of doing it. That's totally different than, look, God is working on me and I got to get an answer now. That would be respectful and honorable. And if you had that approach, God better show up. Or you're making Him a liar now because He said He would. But, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. All right. A living, resurrected presence. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right. Living right now among us. Amen. It speaks better from not dead forms and creeds, but a living token of a living, resurrected Christ that lives in us. No, they deny such a thing. There is such a thing, but we know it's true. But we who believe the Word know God, that God promised it, and He keeps His promise. Knows it is His living presence, for He does as He did. If it's in you and you say, well, I don't steal, I don't lie, Well, that's just something that you can quit. You can quit stealing and lying. A good moral man does that. I keep the Ten Commandments. They did that before Jesus died. But the thing of it is, Christ living in you. Hebrews 13:8, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Proving that God has raised Him up for us from the dead according to His promised word. It's an identification that Jesus Christ is living tonight. We accepted His sacrificed blood that He gave His life. The token seal of the Holy Ghost is our promise. Amen. Ephesians 4:30 said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption." Being baptized by this token into the body of Christ. Listen now. 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, let me make sure real quick. Yeah, this is 63 again. This was after the seals were open. Hallelujah. Being baptized. Actually, you never preached a token before the seals. How many knows that? Do you know the token is the revelation given to the believer of what the seals was? The seven seals, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The token to you unlocks that revelation personally to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why it couldn't. It could not be preached till the seals were open. And we sit here and say, "Yeah, I got the token." No, I got the token. I've got what I need. And it doesn't just pay just for me to feel good today. It pays for every single promise in the Bible. Hallelujah. Now, why we got such an upside down smile all the time? What's wrong with us? It's a lack of revelation. We've let the world come and dull our senses. Look, none of that matters. None of that matters. Our bad days, our good days, none of that matters. The Word of God's true. I've been given the purchasing power to get into heaven.
Amen.
And anybody I want in prayer, I can apply that token and it will bring souls to this Word.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now I'm going to read the whole quote this time. Being baptized by this token into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12. Now we are subject to gifts of the Spirit that's in there. You thought I was just going on tangents. That the world don't believe in gifts. The church don't believe in gifts. But God's Word says there is gifts. And it takes only that token to identify those gifts. Absolutely. And in Him is all the fullness. In Him is all the fullness of God. All the fullness of the promise. And when we're baptized into Him, we have every promise that God made laid at our fingertips. No sin in there. Oh, glory. No death in there. And even sickness can't stay in His presence. If Satan then puts his hands to you and tries to tempt you into something, how is he going to tempt you? Well, just live a good life. Just be a good moral guy. Don't worry about, you're just going through this trial. It'll be all right. What he'll do, he'll make you live for 20 years when God was trying to get you to believe and get delivered today.
Right.
Hallelujah. Glory. If Satan then puts his hands to you and tries to tempt you into something, you hold your token in your hands and show it that you are a redeemed product of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Then let your unadulterated faith wave that token there. And say, "I am a product that Jesus Christ bought."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Sickness flees. Hallelujah. Don't you? And people, it just shows there's no revelation there. How do you not love this message and hear something like that?
Right.
What it goes to show is that you might not have the token yet. Because if you got the token and you know what promises you have laid in that token, you are the happiest person on the planet. Why? Because they've got tokens, they've got money, but it's all perishing. It's all going to mean nothing one day. But we've got something that God made, that God fashioned, and He handed it to us. Glory to God. Oh, I just got one more here. This was in the seals when Brother Branham, he was asked questions on the seals. And I just got a few. Thank you, Lord. I just want to read here in closing. Now, here's the question Brother Branham was asked. Is the bride of Christ and the body of Christ the same? Yes, sir. See? Now, I don't want to get started on it because I'll preach a sermon on it. See, but I don't want to do that. But I want to show you. When God gave Adam His bride from His side, He said, "Surely." He said, "She is my flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone." Is that right? When God gave Christ His bride The Spirit gave the flesh the bride. He was pierced in the side under his heart. Water, blood, and spirit came forth. That become flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. We are the flesh and bones. The bride will be the flesh and bones of Christ. Exactly. Amen. There they are. That is his bride. See, right. The bride and the body are the same thing. So again, if we're going to please the Son of Man and we're the bride of Christ, we are literally his body. Yes. So how in the world could our lives reflect something different?
Right.
You know, they talked up Jesus for a little while, but when the word began to come, they didn't have anything good to say. Did he start lying and stealing and cheating and all these things? No, he still lived perfect. He lived so well to where even the governor couldn't find nothing. That knew all the loopholes in the law. He knew all the things he could strangle up to get this guy dead. He could find nothing against this Jesus. And thank God for his grace. We don't quite have that testimony, but we ought to have a testimony that's different than this world.
Amen.
If they can't look at your life and realize there's something different, you need to go back. You missed something somewhere. And if the religious spirits have no problem with you, there's something wrong, church. Because you're a part of his body. How many's got the Holy Ghost tonight?
Yes,
then you are a part of the body, the flesh and bones of Jesus Christ himself. Now let me read the next question. I'll close on this. Brother Bram's asked this. Would the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Sure. That's what's going on right now.
Yes.
See, the bride of Christ, certainly, it is the message of the hour. I love doing that. We think the message of the hour is these tapes, and we've got this doctrine, and we've got this prophet, and we just kind of follow along, and you just build up another denomination. No, the message of the hour is literally the bride of Christ. It's the revelation of the Son of Man back in the church again, as it was in Paul's day, that they can see who they are. When Paul could say, I speak a great mystery. If I talk about a husband and the wife, I'm talking about Christ and the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me keep reading now. It is the message of the hour. See, the bride of Christ, sure, she consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Is that right? That's the bride of Christ, sure. She's got a ministry, a great ministry. It's the ministry of the hour. It'll be so humble. Why? Because of what I titled this. Pleasing the Son of Man will not please the sons of men. So if we're really the bride of Christ, we think, oh my, what a glorious thing. What a wonderful thing. Look at all these signs and wonders. And we have them happen all around us. But what it is, it's so humble. It's just, you just ask and it just kind of works out. And before you know it, it's here. And if you allow Satan to get into the situation, he'll just say, oh, it wasn't there in the first place. It's just coincidence. You know what that'll begin? It's that spiritual wickedness in high places. That says, you're a good guy, you know, and you know what? God just did that because you're just doing so well. You've just been praying so good that God, you know, you deserve this. And then you go and you get all proud and, before you know it, you lose every blessing because you listen to a spiritual wickedness in high places. What you know is it doesn't matter what I do. Do you understand this? We are saved by grace.
Right.
Paul said, why are you removed from the gospel? He said, what are you talking about trying to earn any of this? You have everything you have because of the grace of God.
That's right.
That's right. You have every blessing you've ever had because God looked on your life and said, yes, they're sinners. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
He saw past all the black in between. He saw the light before, and he saw what the light would be after if he could just apply the blood. And when he saw the joy set before him, he went as a flint to the cross. Straight and narrow, he didn't waver one side. Hallelujah tonight. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let's worship him tonight. Let's just please him. Don't worry about pleasing anybody else. Just get revelation that he's here. And then we came to the house of God to worship for a little while. Say, well, I might be a little tired or something. Just start worshiping Him.
Yep.
Hallelujah. We're here to praise His name. We're here to thank Him for what He's done for us. I can't find my... Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yeah, just give me an F, Dad. That sounds right. Jesus be the Lord. Praise Him now, church. Jesus be the Lord of all.
Jesus be the Lord.
Jesus, have Your way, Lord.
Of all.
Thank You, Jesus.
Comes up my
complexes, all my worrying about other men.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender all.
The kingdoms
of my heart.
Sing it one more time with all your heart.
Jesus, I surrender all.
Glory to God in the highest. Praise Holy name,
surrender.
You're worthy, Father.
All.
Oh Lord,
Jesus, I surrender all.
The kingdoms of my heart. I'm gonna have Dad play that. Let's just break out of our ritual. Let's just worship Him tonight. Let's just give Him praise and express our heart to Him. Hallelujah. Oh, there's no age to worship. No matter if you're 5 or 100. Hallelujah. It's just your heart. It's your heart to Him. How much do you love Him tonight? Thank You, Jesus. Surrender your doubts and fears. Surrender any complex. Surrender anything that's hindering your walk with Him tonight. Maybe you've stacked up a bunch of theology. Hallelujah. Maybe you went to men and just tried to go with what they said and it didn't make sense. Get past all that. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ to you. He is your Savior. He has your personal relationship. And that's what you ought to be concerned with tonight. Hallelujah. Just like Paul, when he got the Holy Ghost, he said, I didn't go talk to no flesh and blood. Hallelujah. He said, I didn't go speak to Jerusalem. I didn't go get mixed up. I went 3 years out there by myself. And I spent it with the Lord, and He showed me the revelation. If you read it later, He comes to the apostles, and He didn't learn anything new because they had the exact same revelation. Glory to God. What did they do? They said, all we've heard is that You used to destroy us, but now You're preaching the same gospel. And Paul said, they glorified God in me. If you want the man of God to appreciate you, don't just try to go with His words. Don't call Him every time you got a problem. You just love on the Lord, and you'll be able to glorify God in you. Hallelujah. Said, they used to doubt, they used to fear, but I just saw their faith, and it just did me good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ain't got to be 50 to say amen. You can just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, once I get old enough, then I'll participate. No, you can participate at 5 years old. That's why I don't even tell my boy not to say amen, because he can participate the same. Hallelujah. I don't tell old folks to not dance. They can dance if they want to. People get afraid. They might get hurt. What in the world are you talking about? Holy Ghost is here. I don't care if they fall over and something happens. The Holy Ghost is here. It'll be all right. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to challenge you tonight to just let go of your flesh. Just totally let go and don't even think about nothing else. Just get totally down in that soul that just loves the Lord. That just screams praises to Him and just can't help but just express love. Just worship Him and just adore Him, that person that's on the inside. Just let go. Don't worry about no son of man out here. You worry about the Son of Man that saved your life, that loved you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I love You, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. With every head bowed, if there's anyone here, I believe you're Christians tonight. If there's anyone here that would say, Lord, I'm here to dedicate myself again. I've let other influence me, other thoughts and personalities and opinions. I've just let it dictate decisions. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm here to just dedicate my heart to you afresh. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you, sisters. God bless you, brothers. Now, don't be down. Put that hand up there and face it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I commit. I'm a son of God. I put my token there saying, you put all these complexes in me. You made me afraid of my own shadow, but I don't care anymore. I got the Holy Ghost, and I'm fine. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to quote from Billy Sunday one time. I believe I just read this, what he said. You know, people say revival's just temporal, but so is a bath, but it'll do you good. Hallelujah. So just, you say, well, just getting the Holy Ghost again, you know, it's just temporal. Well, you were sealed a long time ago. But yeah, maybe your joy comes and goes, but I'm sure you could use another douse of joy tonight, another douse of His presence. It'll do you good. That's right. Glory to God. But when God deposits, it's got eternal effects. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you're the Lord of all. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now get claiming. If you're empty, say, Lord, fill me tonight. Fill me tonight with more. If you ain't got joy, you ain't got peace, you're a Christian. You need to get that token raised up there and right in the devil's face. And say, Saints, you get off my property. I got peace tonight because I've got the Son of Peace in my heart. I've got joy tonight because I'm a sealed son of God. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're healthy tonight, praise the Lord. If you're sick in body, I'm not going to ask you to come up today. I'm going to ask you to believe the Lord right now. And you claim that sickness, go in the name of Jesus Christ. It ain't no man. I'm just a mortal like you are. But you got the Holy Ghost, I do. The face in the room, we agree together. I agree against the devil and all his infirmities. He's defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you agree? Then it's settled. It's over. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing tonight. Praise His glorious name. Praise His glorious name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now take that faith. Keep applying it. I just feel to encourage you tonight to ask more than you do. You don't ask enough because you're wavering in your faith. Quit wavering. Ask for your sons. Ask for your daughters. Ask for revival in your life. Ask for a solid prayer life. Come on. Ask for that relationship with God that you know you want, but you've let things get in the way. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And watch the God of revival come in there and do it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, just worship Him tonight now. Thank Him for what He's done. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I just feel the promise in my life. I've got things with the house going on and all these things that should have been done and they're not done, but something's just giving me peace about it. It's working out. I know it is. I don't know the details, but it's already settled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's just like my daughter when she was being born. Right before she came out, her heart rate dropped to where it almost stopped. And my flesh wanted to rise up, but something on the inside said, it's okay. It's going to be just fine. And it wasn't but 5-10 minutes after I had a nice, healthy baby laying out there on the table. That's right. It says, it's just something you can't explain it, but it's there. It's the faith of God. It's the faith of the Son of God. We'll get into that here in Galatians. It is literally God's faith. He's putting you, brother. Glory to God. He's putting you, Brother Dan. That's right. Believe all the word. You say, well, I don't think I do. No, you do. Shut up, devil. Shut up, Satan. I hear him saying those things. Well, I would, but I just can't. No, shut up, devil. Hallelujah. Don't listen to that. You might think you're being fake, but you're not. You're being fake when you doubt. You're being what you are when you believe. That's right. You're believers.
Yes.
You're an invincible army. I believe the bride's here. I believe she's here. I'm not waiting for the bride to get here. She's here. Hallelujah. She's awakening to who she is. She's not a little baby no more. She's the bride of Christ. She's an adult. You don't marry babies. God will marry a wife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. What brought you to church tonight? What brought you to this message? What brought you to the truth? It was God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. It's just so good to be in His presence. Let's just see what He'll do tonight. Let's just bask in it. Let's just yield ourselves. Oh, let's just praise the Lord. Oh, praise. Come on, dance. Thank you, Jesus. Lift our hands. Let's defy the devil's doubt. Let go a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, heaven and praise. You never swayed before, go ahead. You never shouted before, go ahead. Let's just praise the Lord. Glory.
Let's praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's lift our hands.
Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Vindicate your word in every Christian tonight. Show the devil defeated.
Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's just lift our hands toward heaven.
Of God tonight. Look at that shout of victory on your faces. Glory!
And praise the Lord.
Let's give him a hand clap, praise and worship. So let's give victory to the name of Jesus. Glory!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Praise
Thank
God,
you,
praise
Jesus.
God, praise God.
Thank you,
Thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
Glory!
Hallelujah.
Oh, just worship. Just
Thank
praise
you.
Him. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus.
Oh, yes, Lord. How many just
Hallelujah,
feels the effect of the word on your life?
Hallelujah.
How many feels that
Hallelujah.
Tonight?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank
How many expects
Jesus.
Jesus coming soon?
Thank you.
How many knows you're ready to go with Him?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to sing soon and very soon. Is that G maybe? Try. We can do that. Let's sing. Very soon.